Just close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I need ears to hear and a heart to perceive what your Spirit is speaking to me. Amen? I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1. St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians for a second time, and during this letter, he had written earlier to them about something that was going on that wasn't right. But now he's kind of following up because he really gave them a hard time the first time around. So we're not going to go too much in that corner, but I want you to kind of see how things are no different today than they were then. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, a special messenger of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. I'm using the Amplified because I want to pound a couple of things home. It's the will of God that made Paul what he is. Correct? Try it on for size. Say, it's the will of God, that pounded me to become what I'm supposed to become. Because it's about his plan and not mine. So, Timothy and our brother to be to the church of God, which is in Corinth, and to all the saints. So does that include you? Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 2, grace, favor, spiritual blessings to you, and heart peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy. Did you ever conceive that he's the father of sympathy? He's the father of pity and mercies. And the God who is the source of every consolation and comfort and encouragement. Yeah. So just close your eyes for a moment because you may not have the same version that I do. Say, blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Father as well. He's the Father of sympathy. Also of pity and mercies. And the God who is the source of every consolation. He's the source of all the comfort.
He's the source of all the comfort.
With a bonus of encouragement.
With a bonus of encouragement.
Verse 4 says, who consoles and comforts and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we also may be able to console and comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress. So it's not just about when you're going through it. It's about you becoming the same attributes of your Father in heaven. So if you find that you had surgery like a friend of mine and you're kind of crabby, cry out to the Papa. Why? Because he's the comforter. He's the one that will encourage you when you're having recovery of surgery, it's no fun. Amen?
Amen?
Watch those that are in trouble or distress with the consolation and comfort and encouragement with which we ourselves are consoled and comforted and encouraged by God. So we receive it from God and we transfer it to the one who needs it. You got it. Verse 5. For just as Christ's own suffering fall to our lot as they overflow upon his disciples, and we share and experience them abundantly, so through Christ's comfort and consolation and encouragement are also shared and experienced abundantly by us. So what does that do to the gospel that everything should be perfect and you shouldn't have a sad day and you shouldn't have to go through this or that? It takes you for a ride, doesn't it? Because God is saying you're going to experience these things. Verse 6, but if we are troubled, afflicted, and distressed, it is for your comfort, consolation, and encouragement, and for your salvation. And if we are comforted, consoled, and encouraged, it is for your comfort and consolation and encouragement, which works in you when you patiently endure. Now, patiently endure. I don't know about you, but that's not usually when my patience shows up. What usually shows up? Anger, bitterness, resentment. What are you doing to me? Why did I have to go through this? Amen? Amen. So it says, when you patiently endure the same evil, misfortune, and calamities that we also suffer and undergo. So he went through it. He knows the Corinthians are going through it. And there's a purpose. And our hope for you, that is our joyful and confident expectations of good for you, is ever unwavering. For we know that just as you share and are partners in our sufferings and calamities, you also share and are partners in our comfort, consolation, and encouragement. For we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about the afflictions and the oppressing distress which befell us in the province of Asia, how we were so utterly and unbearably weighed down and crushed that we despaired even for life itself. Indeed, we felt within ourselves that we had received the very sentence of death. But that was to keep us from trusting and depending on ourselves. Oh, there's a secret right there. If you're depending on yourselves, what are you going to get?
Nothing.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yeah.
You're going to get death. You're going to die. If you're going to trust in your own abilities, you're going to face deception. So you need to trust instead on God who raises the dead. Notice your vision. Who came out of the grave? Why did he come out of the grave? To create hope for us. To give us an example. Amen? Verse 10. For it is he who rescues and saves us from such perilous death. And he will still rescue and save us in and on him. We have set our hope, our joyful and confident expectations that he will again deliver us from danger and destruction and draw us to himself. Who is going to draw him and me and you? The Lord will draw us to himself. Out of those difficulties, you're going to get to know the one who is the mercy and the love. Amen? 11. While you also cooperate by your prayers for us, helping and laboring together with us, thus the lips of many persons, Godward turned, will eventually give thanks on our behalf for the grace and the blessings and the deliverance granted us as at the request of the many who have prayed. It is a reason for pride and exaltation to which our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world generally, and more especially towards you, with devout and pure motives and godly sincerity, and not in fleshly wisdom. That's what I want you to see a little bit. Because fleshly wisdom is what the whole world runs on. Spiritual revelation is what you and I operate in, or at least aim for. We may use natural wisdom, but the revelation is greater. I shared with you earlier that I thought I was going after some fruits. Instead, I ended up at the dollar store. I had a Holy Ghost encounter with a young lady. Why? Because I wasn't really going after fruit. I was going after earthly fruit, yeah. But God had me turn and go after a lady who was having a little bit of a struggle. And she's the very lady you picked up in the Spirit. So, again, I want to repeat that part. Pure motives and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, the unmerited favor and the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turned them to Christ and keeps, strengthens, and increases them in Christian virtues. So the Holy Spirit is at work strengthening, increasing them in Christian virtues. Now, as you start experiencing some of these Christian virtues, what happens? Anybody else going to show up on scene? How about that chameleon? He's going to try to hide so you can't see him, but God will expose him. That dark force that may come around, try to sneak in into what the plan of God is just to pull you off base. Amen? Amen? So you need to be obedient to the best of your ability. Verse 13. For we write you nothing else, but simply that you can read and understand. That is, there is no double meaning to what we say. And I hope that you will become thoroughly acquainted with divine things, whew, and know and understand them accurately and well to the end. Divine things. What is he saying? Visions, dreams, words of knowledge. All these are parts of the works of the Holy Spirit, and it should be going on in every single aspect of your day. You say, well, I don't need God to make breakfast. Well, you can do it without him. But if you ask the Holy Spirit, what should you have? You might be surprised. He might have a different opinion and might solve some problems for the rest of the day. You say, well, I don't eat breakfast. Well, that's fine for you. Why is it called break fast? I'll leave it there because that's dangerous. Amen. 14. Just as you have already partially known and understood and acknowledge and recognize that you can honestly be proud of us, even as we can be proud of you on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was with assurance of this that I wanted and planned to visit you first, for all that you might have a double favor and token of grace and goodwill. I wanted to visit you on the way, etc., to Macedonia, and then to come again to you on my return trip from Macedonia, and have to send me forward on my way to Judea. Now, because I changed my original plan, was I being unstable and capricious? Or what I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? Or what I plan do I plan according to the flesh? Like a worldly man ready to say yes, yes, when it may mean no, no. As surely as God is trustworthy and faithful and means what he says, our speech and message to you have not been yes, that might mean no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by myself, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it is always the divine yes. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, Christ, in the anointed. For this reason, we also utter the amen. So be it to God through him that is in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. But it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast. Verse 21 should have a circle around it. But it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and has consecrated and anointed us, enduing us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? It is God who confirms and makes us steadfast. How many of you have seen your walk get wobbly once in a while? So who's going to make you steadfast? Who's going to make you firm in your walk with him?
Jesus.
It's him. Now, if you don't need any help from him, don't bother praying. But I do. Because you see, there are times I end up going in the wrong direction. But I cry out and say, God, help! That sounds like a real good prayer sometimes. Okay? And I've seen myself go into tongues because I didn't know what to pray. How did I get myself in this mess? But I trust God who confirms and makes me steadfast and establishes me in joint fellowship with all the others and in Christ, and has consecrated and anointed me and doing me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a deposit that he put in me. He has also appropriated and acknowledged us as his, putting his seal upon us and giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security deposit and guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. That deposit is also a guarantee. And it doesn't wear out after 30 days or 6 months or after you die. It continues. The gift of God by his Spirit to live in us is what makes you and me dependent on revelations rather than earthly wisdom. That's kind of the message that I wanted to give you tonight, but I said, Lord, do I give it to you or do I give it to them out of the word? And he said, give it to the word, give it out of the word so that it will go inside, and there may be other little pieces to this scripture that may touch you and hopefully encourage you to go deeper with the Lord. Because some people, I remember years ago, would get baptized in the Holy Ghost and they say, I got it all. Mm-mm. And I'd look at them and I'd say, uh-uh. And they would look at me like if I'm accusing them. And I said, well, you know, my pastor bugged me to pieces. You need to develop your spiritual senses. All you guys are a deposit. Are you happy with just a deposit? Or do you want to pay off the car? Do you want a half a car? Do you want just the wheels? Yeah, you can laugh, but it's the truth. Some people are going around in three wheels and they think they're going to do the curves. And you're going to tip over. Okay? You need all of those gifts of the Spirit. Not some. All of them. You say, well, I don't have this one. Well, praise God. I don't have them all sometimes either.
I'm operating on some pieces that are missing. I told you I went in the wrong direction today. Why? Because somehow I got deceived. What did I do? Lord Jesus, turn this into good, because I don't know what's happened, but I don't even know how I got here, but turn it into good. Now that came out of my mouth forcibly, because my brain was saying, you stupid idiot. But I didn't say it. I declared, I am righteous by faith, amen, not by works. Huh? He made me righteous. Romans 5:9. He justified me in the courts of heaven by his blood. I know I'm preaching. Get a clue, though. Get a clue. If you declare the promises in the midst of a test, the test becomes a miracle.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Put your Bibles down. Get your butts off the chairs. No, not just yet. I'm talking to this young man who has had hand up, and we're not going there. We need to pray. We need to pray because some of you are sitting in doldrums and you can't live there, because how are you going to give gifts of encouragement to somebody that's falling apart if you are the one that's falling apart yourself? Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to lift your hands to Jesus, because he's the only one that can supply your needs according to his riches.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Say, whatever mess I got into.
Whatever despair that I feel,
I will not live there.
I will not live there.
I refuse to be deceived.
I refuse to be deceived.
Tonight.
Tonight.
I know. That my Heavenly Father. Has planned something awesome.
Has planned something awesome.
Just for me.
Just for me.
These tests and trials.
Are to make me stronger.
And I'm convinced, that blaming myself, adds insult to injury. I will not condemn myself.
Romans 8:1
says there's no condemnation.
To me.
Because I'm in Christ. I've been anointed by the Lord.
I've
got a deposit of the Holy Ghost.
And
it's about time I use it. And I'm talking to me right now. And I'm saying, get off your butt. Because I've got all these butts around here. Oh, but if I only did this. If I only did that. That's not from God. All these buts are not from God.
All these buts are not from God.
They're excuses from darkness. To push me off the path. I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Romans 5:9.
Says
I'm righteous. And I'm justified by the blood.
I'm not taking on any more guilt.
Or self-condemnation.
Or self-accusation.
And I will not walk in fear.
Because
God gave me a spirit of love. Power.
And
a sound mind. And some of that power is coming out of my mouth right now.
Right now.
I'm pointing to my own heart.
And
I say, be strong.
Be
full of love.
Be confident in God's plan.
Because it will not fail.
He's building me.
To be a paramedic.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to help.
Those that are injured.
Those that are broken. Send them in, Lord. We'll pray for them. Because you. Have something in me. That you want to impart to them. And it starts tonight. Turn to the right.
Turn to the right.
Do you see a back?
Yep.
Do you see a back in front of you?
Yes.
Just move forward. Put your hands on them. That's it. All right. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Let the ones in the front.
As
well as in the back.
As well
those in the back.
Receive your blessing tonight.
Receive your blessing tonight.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I thank you.
I thank you.
And I praise you.
And I praise you.
That this